everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the season premiere, the kickoff of our season 5, episode 1 for the Praying Wife podcast. As always, I am your host, Corrine Cash, and I am just so excited to be in a brand new season with all of you. We have so many exciting things planned over the next couple of months for you guys. So be sure to subscribe to the channels. Make sure that you guys are filling in and going into the community and plugging in. And so you're not missing any of the things that we will be planning and talking about and sharing and all of the amazing guests we'll have, or even some surprise giveaways. I'm telling you, season 5 is going to be, I don't want to call it a game changer, but I will say that we are off to an exciting start and we have quite a ride for you. So welcome again to all of my listening audience, for those of you around the world that have just been so faithful, so committed. I know we've taken a break over the holidays as we usually do, and we still see so many of you guys just still tuning in and listening to previous episodes. God bless you. I do truly hope that the podcast continues to have an impact on you and your life. And so with that, as we are going to kick off this week, we are talking about love and marriage. So considering we are the Praying Wife, we really wanted to start off this season just focusing on our marriage, and more specifically, love. As you guys know, today around the world, we celebrate Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to all of you who are listening today. Even if you are not anyone's Valentine, you are my Valentine today. And so if you're even listening to this later, this was released on Valentine's Day. And so if you didn't have a Valentine on that particular day, just know that I am your extended Valentine. But today I just wanted to talk about love and marriage. And we hear those kind of two words all the time together. We hear it in some of the songs or some of the shows. And it's so funny, you know, when I thought about it, I said love and marriage. And it's like you would think they should go together. But a lot of times we see marriages that don't have the love component. They've kind of just turned into roommates, essentially, or, a binding contract that they're trying to fulfill, or, you know, a duty because they still have kids and they're just going through their days. And it's really our desire here to not have you stay in that place if that is where you are currently. And I hope that you know that there is hope for your marriage. If your marriage is currently struggling, even if your marriage is doing great, things change, things happen daily. We're still growing humans, so we're still experiencing the world. And there are things that come up that either change our perspective, change our view, that make us see things a little bit differently. Perhaps our spouse sees things more in a different way than we do. And it can start to create a little bit of tension or separation, or just things that come up. And so just know that there is restoration. There is hope for healing for your marriage. And if you happen to be listening, you may have already experienced a divorce. Know that God has not thrown you away, nor will He ever. You are not broken, and there's nothing that God cannot heal. Whether that is bringing you back together with that spouse that you separated or divorced from, or bringing into your life a brand new spouse. And so today we're going to just talk about love and marriage. And specifically, there were, a couple of things as I started to think about it and really pray about, what is that? What are some of the things that we can talk about when it comes to love and marriage? And there's just so many things, right, that we can go into. But I wanted to drill down on 5 ways that you can love your spouse. 5 ways that we can love our spouse. And the first way is to pray for them. Simple enough, right? To actually pray. Now, make sure that you understand that I'm not saying that you say that you pray about it or that you think about praying for them, but that you actually spend the time, make the commitment to pray for them often, daily, if you can. And it's important because we have to, as wives especially, keep our husbands covered in prayer for both the seen things and the unseen, for those things that are happening behind the scenes spiritually in their lives that we cannot see or we don't know, and for any physical attack that the enemy might be trying to throw their way. So it's always important that you cover your husband from head to toe. You cover his mind. You know, think about it as you're seeing an illustration of a body. And I think there was a photo I saw online, and it was just a perfect depiction of just how we can keep our husbands covered. And it's praying for his mind, praying for his eyes and the things that he sees and the things that's allowed into his eye gate. And for the things that he cannot control that he sees, you know, because there are so many different stimuli that's going on today that we can't even control what we're seeing. However, the effect that it has on us is something that we can. So just praying over that, praying over his ears, the things that he hears and how it affects him mentally. You know, as a man, we have to remember that they're driven, you know, I don't want to say driven by ego, but essentially that. And so there's a very fragile component to where the words that we say or the words that they hear from other people, not just us, can really affect them. So covering his ears and praying that, you know, things that are good and wholesome will enter into his ears and things that are not will just drop and fall to the ground without a lasting impact. And praying just for his arms and his hands, the things that he touch will be blessed and prosperous. And praying for his legs, wherever he walks, that God will guide him where he should go and keep him out of places where he should not go, right? And so it's just completely covering him every single day, because we understand that the enemy is roaring about like a lion and he's seeking for someone to devour. And he would love nothing more than to not just get your husband, our spouses, but to get us to tear apart our families, that will then tear apart a community that goes to a nation. And so we have to keep them prayed up. And remember, there are some things that you may be saying, man, I really wish my spouse could stop doing this or start doing this or anything. Like, there's a lot of things I'm sure we may have on that list. And many of them are things that only Jesus himself can fix. If we're really honest, there are some things we cannot, and let me even say this clearly, you cannot change a person. You cannot. You can be an influence, but ultimately that person will have to make the decision to do that. However, with the help of the Holy Ghost, with Jesus, with God, God can work on his heart. If you're a husband listening to your spouse, God can do things that we cannot. And so when we start to fight, we remember that the battle is not won, you know, that just arguing with your spouse back and forth, but it's a spiritual battle a lot of times. And there are things that's going on that we don't comprehend. And so we fight that battle on our knees as we're in prayer, as we're asking God to cover them and even showing us how we can be a good spouse to our husband, how we can love them better. So praying for your spouse is going to be the very first thing. And even when you're done and you do all of the other ways, it should be the last thing. You want to keep them in prayer. It's so, so important. Number two, respect them. You have to respect your spouse in order to properly love them, especially when we're talking as us wives and we're referring to our husbands. You have to respect them. Now, how do you respect your husband? Well, I will ask, how do you talk to your husband? Because that is one way you can show respect or disrespect. What are some of the words that you are using? What is the tone that you're speaking to him in? Are you always sarcastic? Do you speak to him as though he were a child? All of these things, like, they diminish his man nature, right? It makes him feel less than, and it makes it seem as though you are being disrespectful. Even if you said, well, that was not my intention, you have to always look at the way that you speak. You can always tell when you respect someone because the words that you use around them is different, right? It's the tone, the words, just your demeanor will show the level of respect that you have for someone. So I'll challenge you to, you know, this day or this week, take a step back and really ask yourself, how do I respect my husband in the way that I talk to him? And then the other part about talking is, how do you talk about your husband? When you're talking on the phone to your friends, when you're talking to your mom or your dad or just loved ones, how are you referring to your husband? Are you telling them, you know, he's so lazy, he's good for nothing, he can't do anything? Like, that's a level of disrespect also, because now you're talking behind his back, essentially, to other people. And now you're painting this picture of his character to your friends, your family, your loved ones, whoever it is that you're speaking to. So now they have a perception of who he is, and their level of respect starts to diminish. So now when they are around him, they're talking a certain type of way as well. And so you want to always make sure that you are speaking to your husband in a nice way, in a respectful tone. And anytime you are addressing your husband to whomever it may be, that you are keeping in mind that he is your husband, that at the end of the day, when you get off of that phone call, he is still there. Like, you still have to sleep in the room with him. You guys still have to do life together. So don't ever forget that important part. Make sure you're always, always being respectful to him in the way that you talk to him and the way that you talk to about him. This is especially true when you have just had a heated argument. It's very common for us to want to go on the phone. You know, we talk to our girlfriends, or we talk to our mom, or, you know, whoever it is that we're venting to. And you're just like, I can't believe he just did this and did it. And it's okay to vent. However, please be extremely cautious of how you refer to your husband in that moment. We really should be using our words, because one thing we have to remember, that life and death, the Bible tells us, is in the power of the tongue, right? It does not specify that the words that you say when everything is fine, those are the words that can bring life or death. No, it's all words, period. Whether you are, you know, saying great things or you're saying bad things. So even in the midst of being upset, that is really the time to take a step back and really watch what comes out of your mouth. Even though it may be going through your mind at that time, that is when we take those thoughts captive and make sure that we don't allow that to utter out of our mouths, and then creating a possibly disrespectful tone from us or disrespectful feeling from the person we are speaking to our spouse. You know, we really should be using our words to affirm our husband, to speak life to them. So instead of you thinking he does nothing right, you can say, I'm thanking God that my husband does everything right. It's changing the way that we speak about our husband, and even in front of him and behind, you know, sometimes we don't like to say behind his back, but whether you're in front of him or not, always thinking and saying positive words over our spouse. Another part of respecting your spouse would be, of course, the faithful aspect. Are you faithful? Faithful to the vows that you made when you first said, I do, to love and to cherish, to forsake all others. That is specifically, if I'm just going to be honest, what I'm referring to is making sure that you keep your marriage bed undefiled, as it says, but making sure that it's still just between you and your spouse, that you're not going out, that you're not seeking the comfort, the pleasures, the affirmation from other people, but you're getting that from your spouse and remaining faithful to him, both physically and emotionally. And so you have to make sure that you are respecting them. So number one, we had praying for them and then respecting them. And then the third one I put there is that you have to love yourself. Now, this one may be a little tricky. You might say, well, how can I love my husband by loving myself? If you don't love yourself, it's very difficult for you to effectively love other people. In the case of your spouse, when you love yourself, you are taking time for you to make sure that you are fully refreshed and replenished to give him the energy and the love and the attention and the care that he needs. When you're so tired and bogged down and you can't bother, you can't be any assistance, any help meet at all to your spouse. And part of that is loving yourself, taking care of yourself. And another, maybe a little controversial, but it's still the truth, so I'm still going to say it, is when you love yourself, are you taking care of your health? Notice I'm not saying or asking if you are skinny, but are you taking care of your health? Are you healthy? Being healthy is extremely important. Again, you have to make sure you do your best to be around for your family. Again, to be there to help your husband in areas where he may be weak, areas where he needs you. If you're not healthy, you're, you know, going to doctors, you'll find yourself just going to doctors all the time, or you just can't. You don't have the energy. All of this comes under not being able to fully give him what he needs from you. And that is because you're constantly, constantly on the go, doing stuff, not taking care of yourself, not being healthy. And also making sure that you look presentable. Now, I'm trying to just walk a fine line here. But when your husband, let's go back to when you were dating your spouse, you did not try to look any old kind of way. Okay, now it's a difference because, of course, now that you are married, if we are talking about, you know, a marriage, now, of course, he's going to see you after the makeup is off, when it's bedtime, like you're just, it's all you, au naturel. That's completely fine. That makes total sense. But if now your entire 24/7, 24-hour period with your husband is now looking kind of crazy, and he might ask the question, where is this woman that where is she? Where is she? Now, again, it's not saying you walk around being a Barbie doll all day. Absolutely not. But making sure at some moments that there are that you just know, like you're just aware. I want to make sure that I look presentable for my husband. I'm not always just around slouching and just doing whatever and letting myself go. Like, you know, and I know sometimes we might say, well, that's so superficial and it shouldn't matter and he should just love me for who I am. Yes, he should 100% love you for who you are. But remember what you did to get your husband and the love and attention you gave yourself when you would see him. And it's always trying to keep that same fire alive and not necessarily to keep the chase, but to keep that fire burning. You have to, as much as it might hurt you to think about or say or how you might be feeling in this moment, it is the truth. Men are extremely visual animals, very, very visual. And so the way that you dress, like if you're going to bed, it's okay to have on your, you know, I wear them all the time, but the pajamas, you know, the big pajamas and big underwear and all of this. But sometimes give him a little taste. Remind him, you know, of who you were when you guys got married. Like, oh, yes, this is so he can be proud of the person that he is with. And so I'm praying, Lord, that all of the listeners here, that you understand what I'm saying, because I don't want it to get where you believe I'm saying that you have to walk on eggshells and walk in high heels and, you know, have on a skimpy outfit every single day and makeup on every minute of the day. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying take care of yourself, remain healthy, and look good. At some points, because if we think about it, if we see our husband starting to, you know, put on a whole lot of weight and letting himself go, you would just be there like, okay, you need to do something. You need to do something. At least I'm going to need you to be healthy. So with that, it's loving yourself, taking time out for yourself to relax, to cater to yourself so that you can refresh and be renewed. Number four. Forgive them. If we want to successfully, truly, honestly love our spouse, we have to learn to forgive them, truly forgive them. And that means letting go of past offenses, letting go of the things that happened, you know, before last week, 10 years ago. You know, we have to learn to move forward together. And it's very difficult to move forward efficiently when you're always looking back. It always slows you down. And so we have to forgive our spouses and understand that, you know, the Bible says that we should make allowance for each other's faults. And that means recognizing that none of us are perfect. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. All of us, you included. And so when our spouse does something to hurt us, yes, it cuts deep because they are the ones that, you know, we spend our lives with. We spend the majority of our time with. We go to sleep with. You know, we share a space. We're sharing finances. So the betrayal there or whatever they did, you know, offense there can go very deep. However, in our quest to have a happy home, a happy marriage, a fulfilling and loving home, we have to learn to forgive our spouse. Forgive them as Jesus has commanded us to forgive. And we forgive not just because he's our husband. No, no, no. We forgive because, like, God first forgave us. And so we are indebted to forgive others. And so it's not if you feel like it. It's when we get into the position of truly forgiving others, then our Heavenly Father can forgive us. And I can tell you that nothing creates more animosity and a very disgruntled and unhappy and unstable home than letting unforgiveness linger in your household. The longer you hold on to that and it festers, it will create a monster. And it will continue. And the more you do that, you keep feeding the monster and keep feeding the monster until one day the monster eats both of you and you're looking and there's no way out. So you want to deal with hurt, offenses, betrayal, that you want to deal with as soon as you possibly can, because you do not want the spirit of offense and betrayal and unforgiveness to linger and to create something even worse in your home. So learning to forgive your spouse. And then finally, the last way that I just kind of noted that we can love our spouse is to speak their love language. Now, this one is a big one. We did a podcast a couple of months ago where we retook our love language test, and we always love to do it. And I always encourage spouses, individuals, even now they have one for kids, to take it at least once every 6 months or once a year. We try to do it twice a year, but once a year even is sufficient. And why do you do that? Because, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, people change. We change our ideas. We change our viewpoints. We change our, you know, clothes. We change the things that we like, what we don't like. And so with that, you will start to see that as things start to change in terms of their importance to you, your love language kind of shifts. We've even seen that over the years where something that may have been number two on our list now became number one, or number three now is like number five. And so number one, to speak your spouse's love language, the first thing is you have to know what their love language is, right? And so you can go online, and I think it's still lovelanguages.com. If not, literally a Google search for love language test and it'll pop right up. And it's completely free. Take that so that you, and have your spouse take it as well, so that you understand what their love language is. And someone might be like, well, what's a love language? So there are essentially five different love language that I can't remember his name. I think it was Gary Chapman. When you look it up, you'll see, and you'll be able to let me know if I said that wrong. But he came up with kind of a system where he grouped the ways that we accept and receive love into five categories. And it's quality time, physical touch, receiving gifts, acts of service, and words of affirmation. And so when you take your test, it'll basically let you know what percentage of each of those categories matter more to you. So you might have your number one is quality time, and that's like 30 or 40%. And the other ones, you know, it goes according to the percentage based on the questions that you ask, that they ask that you answer. And so it's important for you to know what your husband's love language is, because a lot of times what we do by default, just human nature, is that we give and show love the same way that we receive love, because we think this is what love means to us. So that is the way that I'm going to show love to you. When in reality, the way that you receive love as an individual could be completely opposite than the way your husband receives love. For an example, my love language is acts of service, which means I receive love when you're doing things for me. Like if my husband says, hey, I'm going to take care of this task that you needed to do, that's the way that I feel like, okay, you really love me. That's speaking my love language, doing different things that helps me to accomplish things in my day. Now, for my husband, acts of service is somewhere down the list, like three or four. I don't even remember. But his number one thing is quality time. So for him, it's important that we're spending physical, actual time together and just continuing to get to know one another, just talking about our days, all of this, like it matters to him. So I need to know me doing things for my husband. Yes, it's nice, but he would really rather if we were sitting on the couch and just, you know, talking it up and doing other things. And for me, you know, quality time is important. It's just not at the top of my list. So it wouldn't be the way that I would immediately say I would show him love. I would just start doing things for him and be like, well, he should feel the love that I'm giving because I'm giving all of this love by doing all this stuff. When really he's like, I mean, I appreciate it, but that's not filling up my love meter. So it's important that you know what your spouse's love language is and then you do it. And so if you know that your husband is physical touch, and ladies, I will tell you, maybe 80 to 90% of the time, men's love, first and foremost love language is physical touch. Now, this can be very interesting and tricky because someone like me, for example, physical touch is at the very bottom of my list for my love language. It just is. And so when it's a case like that, because it's very high on his, I think it's second, I have to come out of my shell and understand that even though that just is not what I receive as love at all, I have to still make sure that I'm doing my part to do that for him so that he understands that and he receives love that way. So it's not about doing what you know and you like, but knowing what their language is and just speaking that to them. Okay, so those five are the five ways. It's praying for your spouse, respecting your spouse, loving yourself, forgiving your spouse, and speaking their love language. And if you can do that, you're going to start to see dramatic shifts in your marriage. You're going to start opening up the doors of communication for you guys to really start to understand what you like. You can start to make sure that you solidify all of this. Again, it started with prayer because prayer covers a multitude of sins. Well, it's love covers a multitude of sins, but I can tell you prayer does probably more than the love does. And so making sure that you're covering them in prayer, that's super important because again, there are things that just come at us that we don't know, we're not prepared for, we don't understand. And the only thing we can take that to, or the only person we can take that to is God himself. And he has the ability to mend and to restore whatever it is that's going on. And respecting your spouse and making sure the way that you're talking to them is in a loving tone, even in the times when you're upset, because I know we could, you know, when you think about how you speak to your spouse, you may just immediately go to your natural way of talking to them when things are okay and things are going good. We're all loving at that point. That's not when we're really talking about, even though that is equally as important, but it's more so in the times when you get upset, when you're having an argument. How are you addressing your spouse in those moments? And then loving yourself, a tricky one, but still an important one. Whether we want to believe it or not, we have to make sure we're taking that time for ourselves, that we're resting, that we're being renewed and replenished so that we can give of ourselves. And then making sure we're not looking crazy 24/7, okay? Because our husband is still very visual. And then forgiving your spouse for whatever it is. It's very difficult to have an effective marriage moving forward if unforgiveness is present. So you want to tackle that beast very early on when you notice that it's there. And then speaking your husband's love language, knowing what that is. And I will be, you know, so very happy. I'll be grateful if you put some of these, not some, I'm hoping and praying that you put all of them into practice. And when you do, when you start to see that shift, send me an email. We can celebrate together. We can go through and share some success stories together on how you can start to see a dramatic shift in your marriage. And so that's all we have for today. As we talk about love and marriage, it's the season of love. It's Valentine's Day. It's a brand new season. So we're just, again, so excited. Remember that there is the community online. We have a private group online. You can get connected to the page as well. You can just follow the page itself and get updated on all of the alerts that we have. We do still have our meetings. We meet twice a week. So whichever one can fit in your schedule. It is on Monday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. So a lot of times I see we've gotten this a little mixed up. I have a few of you from different parts of Fiji or different parts of Africa, and we're always getting kind of this time zone mixed up. So just remember, it's the Eastern Standard Time in the US. So just if you go online and you can do a calculator, they'll just, you know, just say, what time is this in your time? And you can just put 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is for Monday. If you cannot, on Thursdays, we also meet at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's Monday, 7 a.m. at Eastern Standard Time, and Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as well here in the U.S. It is open for everyone. We meet on Zoom. You can have your camera on or not, however you feel comfortable, but we've really established just a tight-knit community of beautiful, wonderful, praying women that we lift each other up every single week. So you don't want to miss that, and make sure that you're a part of it. And if not, if you want to just stay connected and just get some email blasts about different things that we're doing, you can go online to thepraingwife.com and you can sign up just to join the mailing list, and we'll keep you posted as well on anything that we're doing. And so we just want to make sure that we can reach you, that we can pray for you and keep you covered. And if you have any questions, some of you already reach out anyway, you can email us directly to support@thepraingwife.com, or you can email pray@thepraingwife.com, pray@thepraingwife.com, or support, support, @thepraingwife.com. You can also, of course, follow us on Instagram, and we are also on Twitter. We're not on TikTok yet. I'm going to pray about that, guys. So, but that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you guys so much for joining us again. I'm super excited to kick off this season, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. God bless.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Praying Wife podcast. I do pray that you were blessed. Please remember that you are beautiful, you are powerful, you are made in the image of God, and you are loved. We will see you again next time.